Welcome back, brethren. We're about to commence, or I should say continue, where we left off in the book of Revelations. Book of Revelation. Okay. This is another very important topic, study for us as a congregation. It is so important that we understand what the King of Kings is now doing. To get it fully understand that the sovereign Yeshua is sitting on the throne. Since his resurrection, and that spending that 40 days that he spent teaching the disciples, as we saw in the book of Acts, he ascended and sat at the right hand of the power on high. And he has been ruling, he has been setting up kingdoms, he has been destroying kingdoms, he has been gathering his people from generation to generation until this very day and until he returns. That's what our Yeshua is. That's among, for planet Earth, the things he's doing. Among everything else that he is doing. All right, so it's an amazing thing. Just keep in mind right now, the wonderful Yeshua, he is in the heavens, literally managing the affairs of this world. And we need to know exactly what it is he wants us to know and understand. Okay, there's no room for error in this. If we only know one thing by the end of all of the study, so be it. We know one thing that is true. 1, 5, 10, 100 things that are true. But it's better to go away with one thing that is true than to go with multitudes of ideas that are false. So the key thing, what I'm saying, is that we need the truth. Not a whole bunch of ideas and jangling and finding answers for everything under the sun that are wrong. We want to know what we need is the truth. For the spirit of Elohim is a spirit of truth, and there's no mixture in Elohim, in his spirit, or his son. There's none. You cannot find truth in a spring, in a well that sprouts lies, error, mingled with truth. That's demonic. And unfortunately, many people spend so much time in things that are contrary to the law, and yet they don't understand when the law says you shall not partake of mixed things. You don't wear your clothing made of mixed material, wool and linen. You don't do that. As I said before, you don't mix. Okay, that's the satanic world. These things create confusion, and the spirit of Elohim does not work like that. If you want the truth, we go to a source of truth. The source of truth, if the source of truth gives you only one answer, stick to that answer. Don't go to a source that's giving you mingled things and it's giving you 1,000 answers. Because sometimes we have itchy ears. Remember the warning? Those who have itchy ears heaping to them multitudes of teachers. Okay? Sometimes we don't realize we're doing that because we're reading their books. We're listening to their teachings, their videos. It's okay to listen to things with the right perspective. It's okay to listen to something that's from a source that you know is false if you are a servant of Elohim, who is there to prove what is true. But we don't go to sources that teach light and darkness mingled, searching for the truth. You will never. Elohim will not honor that. Trust me. As a matter of fact, trust the scriptures. See if what I'm saying is not true. You see, Saul did that. King Saul, he went to what? He went to the witch to find an answer that he wanted. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. It's not like the prophet Saul didn't already tell him. But he wasn't satisfied with the truth. So he went to hear You want to hear even from a demonic source. Brethren, everything that is mixed is from a demonic source. I want you us to understand that, because if we keep reading the books and listening to the articles of these mixed things, we're never going to come. You're just going to keep getting confused. The source is the Bible, and the scriptures that the Bible refers to, and that includes. And I say this with all confidence, the books of Clement. It includes these things, from which our brother Richard, it does include the book of Enoch, which many, for whatever reason, I can't believe some of the things I hear people say about the book of Enoch. I mean, I'm just amazed as how they don't, first of all, they don't understand what they're reading. And it's amazing because they're scholars and yet they don't understand. And then you really see the power of Elohim working among the humble who could easily understand and prove everything Enoch is saying. Yet these scholars can't understand it. Why is that amazing? Because it's the very same scholars that are scoffing and trying to tear apart the Bible and the other scriptures. They speak against the entire Bible. People don't understand. Those that are speaking against Enoch and such, you'll find that they'll contradict the very Bible as well. So we should not be amazed that they don't understand. Because Elohim will show his truth to those who are humble. Everyone who is humble. So let's continue with the book of Revelations. Let's stick with the truth of the scriptures. So last Sabbath, we covered chapter 1 from verses 1 to verses 3. And what we saw there, we saw the divinely ordained order of authority. And maybe that's even not the proper way to say it. The loving extension of Elohim to mankind is really what it is. It's not a matter of really so much authority. Elohim doesn't think like we do. He's very gentle and kind. This is how he extends his love to us. He gives his message. He immediately, by the Spirit, gives his message to his son, Yeshua. Yeshua gives the message to his angel, and the angel sends the message to John. To Yochanan. We saw that in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 1. And that's basically what we covered. Oh, and especially two key things. In verse 1, it says, the things to show to his servants, the things that must soon take place. Not things that would take 100 years, 200 years, 300 years to happen. No, soon take place. And he's speaking of soon in terms of human understanding, human design, not his own, where a day is like a thousand, a day is like as a thousand as a day. No, he's speaking to human beings. And in this case, it's our time. There are things that will happen shortly in the times of these people, the times of John and the people with him. And also the last of verse 3, the last portion says, for the time is near. Oh, let me back up. There's a blessing involved. Verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So this book was written to be a blessing to the congregation, especially the congregation of the people who were at John's time. Events were supposed to happen in their time. In their time. And blessed are those who keep them. Who would keep such a thing? Who could even understand it? Of course, it was the Kahal Elohim, the congregation of Elohim. The book of Revelations, brethren, is not written to the world. It's not something you go preach to the world. This is internal information. This is for the congregation of Elohim only, brethren. You don't teach this to the unbeliever. First of all, they won't understand it, and you'll cause them more confusion than helping them. This book was written for the congregations of Elohim only, for those who believe. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in them, for the time is near. All right? So let's begin reading what, oh, and about the time is near also. Remember what Yeshua said after, in Matthew 24, when he says all these things, he says, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. And some ministers try to twist that to make it mean anything but what it means. Yeshua was saying that the people living in his time, these things that he was talking about would come upon them. Would come upon them. That's what Yeshua is saying. And we will see this as we read this through fresh eyes. Eyes that don't have that are not drinking of mixed cups, but of the pure wine of Elohim and of Messiah and of the unleavened bread of Messiah. Nothing else. All right, so let's begin to see what it was that the Messiah sent to John by his angel. So verse 4. He says, John, to the seven congregations that are in Asia. Did it say John to the world? No. John to the seven congregations that are in Asia. That's who the book is written. It's for the congregations of Elohim. So it says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of this earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. 6, verse 6. And made us a kingdom, priests to his Elohim and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him, even so, Amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the eternal Elohim, the eternal power, who is and who was and who is to come, or who is to be, the Almighty. He identifies himself. So let's discuss these. Let's discuss these, verse 1, verse 4 through 8. And if time allows, we'll go through verse 9. So let's see what it says. So again, verse 4 says, John to the seven kahilot, to the seven congregations that are in Asia. Briefly, not to spend too much time on this, because I don't have these notes in front of me. I understand there was a messenger route in the ancient Roman Empire during that time, and these churches, these seven churches, were positioned such that information, so that in these mailing message routes, messages could flow through these where they live very quickly. Messengers could travel these routes very easily. That's the most that I remember of this. But if there are others of you on the line who remembers a bit more, maybe during the sharing time, you could share a little bit more about this route. But Elohim had these churches strategically positioned. So nothing we do must be in vain. You see how we're being very careful in finding a place where we are to meet? That's how we are to be. We don't just get up and find whatever is convenient. We have to find things that do things in a way that makes sense, that's going to be conducive to doing the work, because the work is hard, can be hard, and actually impossible to do if we do it wrong. So these churches were strategically, seven congregations, I should say, were strategically positioned by Elohim. It's not by mistake. Elohim knows what he's doing, of course. So John to the seven congregations that are with, what's his greeting? Grace, chesed, endowment to you, grace, gifts to you. That's what he's saying. Okay, when he says grace, it's like it's the multiple works, the grace, the gifts of the Spirit be upon you. That's literally what he is saying. the gifts, the endowments to you, and peace, shalom, from him who is and who was and who is to come or to be. Or it's just a to be, really. So let, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Let's begin a little bit. Let's go back. Peace. These people were living in very difficult times, tumultuous times. At this very present time, when they were at this, they were living in very difficult times because of the persecutions. Persecution from two ends. Persecution from the Yehudim, the unbelieving Yehudim that we spoke about in the book of Acts earlier, how they were among the mockers who were saying, oh, they are full of new of wine. You understand? They were mockers. They were not among the devout. So these people, these congregants, these believers were under persecution by them as well as by the Roman Empire at this time. Very amazing suffering and pressure. So John's pronouncement is not an empty pronouncement. It is by the power, is by the Spirit, and by the power of the Spirit that he pronounces this blessing. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to be, or is to come. It's with the power of the Spirit, he says. It's effectual. They're not empty words. It's, oh, I hope you feel better. Oh, you know, I hope you get... Nope. These words are certain words filled with the power of the Spirit. When the apostles spoke, that's how it was. They're being made like our brother was reading, that someone was reading, where we were made in his image today. Brother Richard, when he was reading that point, said, we are made in his image. Elohim spoke and it was. He commanded and it stood fast. So his disciples that are truly filled with his Spirit, they do the same thing. And the priests, the Aaronic benediction. Do you notice in the congregation of Elohim, we do not say the Aaronic benediction. We may read it, referencing to it, but we do not pronounce it as a blessing. Because that was something given to the Levitical priest only. There are some groups, they go around saying, V'arachecha yudhevavi, like they're saying the blessing as if they're authorized to proclaim the blessing. It's uselessness and it's vanity. No one living today can pronounce the Aaronic benediction with any effect. It was given to the high priest only. People don't understand it. There's this confusion of people trying to do things that they're not authorized to do. It was the high priest only who could pronounce that blessing and make it effectual, whether people were indeed blessed. So likewise, the apostles, when they speak and things are just by the power of, it's not their power, but it's the Spirit of Elohim in them. That becomes a part of them, that is given as a gift that will never be taken away. So it becomes part of them. And so they become one with Elohim, even as he is one with them. As Yeshua prayed, the Spirit causes us to become one, literally, because it is his Spirit dwelling in us. And he gives that Spirit to those who are ready as a gift. It's the gift of the Spirit. He will not take his gift away. That's why he tries the hearts. So, peace, grace to you, and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. This is the name of Elohim, brethren. This is the sacred name translated for us. Every language where the Bible is translated, it's translated in their own language. So here, so that they may know the name of the Eternal in their own language. This is the Yud, He, Vav, He. The was, the is, and the is to come, and the is to be. The Eternal. This is the name he gave to Moses. And when Moses says, when we come, when they ask, when I go, they will ask, what is his name? Elohim is not a politician. Forbid, I speak as a fool, right? You know, I'm speaking as somebody who doesn't have it. Elohim does not mince his words. Elohim does not speak to his servants in parables. He only speaks to those who are not listening in parables. Moses was listening. And he asked Moses asked, what should I say? He says, you should say, Asher Haya. That's his name. It's not another name. It's not just the Eternal. That is his name. His name is the Eternal. But then later on, he tells Moses this, but because that's the name he wants him to tell the Israelites. But he tells Moses the fullness of his name. Yud, He, Vav, He. He tells him the rest of his name. He gave him partial of his name. Ha, Ya. But then he includes Ho, Ve. The Yud, the He, I'm sorry, the Vav and the He. And saying, this is my name forever. He did tell Moses his name. That's why in the rest of the scriptures, you see whose name alone is Yahya. You see in the Psalms where that is his name. So let's not be confused. Because his name is not a phonetic sound, brethren. Oh, if I just pray that people could understand. It's not a phonetic sound. It's not something limited to a particular way of pronouncement. It's an understanding of who he is, what he is. If you say his name in perfect Hebrew and you don't understand or believe what it is, it's in vain. You know how many Yehudim knew the name? But they didn't know the name. They knew it, they could say it, but they didn't know the name. And many will hear, I never knew you. It's to understand. That's why he says, this is the will, that you understand me. People are trying to, oh no, he's mysterious. He is mysterious. But there's certain things he tells you about him he wants you to understand. Everything that's written, revealed, he wants you to understand. His Elohim gave the Hebrew language to men. Elohim is not limited to anything. These are the things of the creation. And so Moses was an Israelite, so he spoke to him in the Israelite tongue. But as we saw in the book of Acts, these were Jews in Acts chapter 2. These were Jews, but yet he purposely chose not to speak in Hebrew. How shall we not open our eyes? In the book of Acts, he did not speak to them in Hebrew purposely. They were Jews. He could have easily spoken to them in Hebrew, but he wanted to make a point. There was a time they spoke one language. There was a time he divided the languages, not demons. All these languages were the works of his hand. Great are the works of the Eternal, as our sister read, and they are studied by all men. Right? In that psalm. All these languages are the works of Elohim, not the works of demons. But yet today, you have people speaking against languages, the use of other languages, as if they were some demonic thing. As if the languages were pagan. The languages are not pagan. The works of men are pagan. They speak of days, first day, second day, Tuesday, as if days are pagan. Days can never be pagan. What children of Belial celebrate on the days are pagan. But the days were all created by Elohim. And so are all languages. Even though people pervert languages with evil thought and evil words, they misapply the words in evil ways. But languages are made by Elohim, and all things from Elohim are pure and holy. Okay, some things are more holy than the others. He made the temple. He made them, the temple was holy, but there's the holy of holies. Right? So the seventh day is the holiest of days. But the other days were created by Elohim. And he said, all are good. So going to languages here, Elohim wants us to understand his name. It's useless to say his name in Hebrew or any language if you don't understand it. That's why here in the revelation of Yochanan, he says the name. Grace to you and peace from him who is. That's Asher Hayah, who was Hoved, and who is to come. And in the synagogues, they sing songs that itemize these words over and over and over. But only in the synagogues. And people don't understand. They say, they're saying, Asher Hayah Vehove Veyavo. They sing that. Because that's his name. Okay? And in our plain English, his name is, was, is, and will be. Or you can say the eternal, because that's what it's implying. That's why I say it's a meaning. It's not a phonetic sound. And that's why when you read the Torah or the Old Testament scriptures, you'll see variations of the writing of his name. And people are confused and they don't understand. Oh, why is it spelled? It's a mistake. No, it's not a mistake. It's because it's grammatically used and it's grammatically adjusted for the context of the words. For the context of the message being spoken, the Yud Heh Vav Vav may include other sounds to make it contextual. Just like Elohim, we say Elohim, but when we say our Elohim, it's Eloheinu. Is it another Elohim? No, it's the same Elohim, but in context, the grammar requires that it should be now Eloheinu if we're saying our Elohim. If I'm saying my Elohim, it's Elohai or Elohi. So we have to understand these are meanings, and we're not to restrict our wonderful Elohim to phonetic sounds. That's not what the scripture is about. But it's to understand his name. So peace from grace from whom? Peace from who was? Peace from who? Peace from who is? Peace from who? Peace from he who is to be. That's what John is saying, to assure you know that in your troubles at that time, that peace is coming to you from the Almighty. And from who? From the seven spirits. Who are the seven spirits? Oh, dear brethren, there are some of us on the line who would not know who these seven spirits are. Some of us know. Those of us that understand that the book of Enoch is scripture, we will know. Those of us that understand that the book of Ezra, 2nd Ezra, is scripture, we will know. Those of us that understand the book of Jubilees is scripture, you will know, because that's where these seven spirits are mentioned. The seven spirits were seven special archangels. Okay? That's who they are. Those are the seven spirits, the angel of presence, the Malachim of presence, that are before his throne. That's who these spirits are. The seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Do you notice how each person involved in this is described? Who is this Yeshua? Who is this Yeshua? The faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers over all rulers. That's who I'm taught. That's who the peace is from. From Elohim, who is, who was, and who is to be. From the seven spirits of presence before his throne. And from Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of... That's who your peace is coming from. Let's continue. And I'll stop with this portion. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, still describing Yeshua, who loves us and has freed us from our sins. He loves the righteous. Oh my goodness. I can't... He, as it says, he lavishes his love on us. If you want to say he can't love the righteous enough, it's an amazing love, brethren. We need to contemplate the love of Elohim in Messiah, the love of Messiah in Elohim, shared by his seven faithful ones. the seven before his throne. The love of Elohim. And Michael and Gabriel are two of those seven. But by the way, just to point that out to you. He loves us and has freed us from our sins. From our sins. It's not like he has freed us from the problems that are bothering him. Our sins don't bother him, as he said to Job. Sins bother men like you. He freed us from our sins, from our troubles, from what's polluting the earth, from what's killing the children, from what's polluting our airs, our oceans, our food, that's causing murder, that's causing divorce, that's breaking houses, that's breaking homes, that's destroying little children in the womb. Freed us from our sins. That's causing death and destruction. That's causing brothers like I've known who had to flee for his life because he was being hunted down. He jumped into a bush to hide. He spent several days there until he could escape. These sins are nothing to hold on to. Sins cause death and misery. Oh, thank you, Father, for loving us through your Son and freeing us from our sins by his blood. And not only did he do that, verse 6, and made us a Malkuth, a kingdom. Made us a kingdom, a government, priests to his Elohim. Who is the he? Who is the his? Yeshua. He made us priests of his Elohim, priests of his Father. To him be kavod, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Emet. Amen. To him be glory. So it says in verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds. This is John now continuing. After he identifies who is this peace and grace coming from, then, and of his works, then he speaks of him coming. He speaks of him, all the good things, and he is ruling. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him, even so, amen. Remember, we cannot isolate the scriptures. There's a scripture that says they will mourn for him, even as one mourns for what? His own son, it says. Let's not forget that. Let's not misinterpret what it means by wailing. Because elsewhere it says, when he comes, they shall mourn even as for their own son. In other words, they're going to mourn repentantly. They're going to mourn remorsefully. Okay? They shall wail or mourn for him. Even so, every eye shall see him. Even those who pierced him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? That's what he said, right? And we will see him, even those who pierced him. And those who pierced him, remember he said, after the thunder and the darkness and the rain, he says, truly, this was the Son of Elohim. Remember that? Those who pierced him? And so he said, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So he's coming. Why will you have peace? Because he's coming. He's coming. And verse 8 to end, he says the word, remember, this message is a message given to Elohim through Messiah, through the angel to John, who is communicating through the seven churches, who are strategically placed in seven locations where messages can travel very quick. So verse 8, to conclude, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Eternal Elohim, says the Eternal Power over all. Who is? And he says it again. Do you think he's saying this in vain? And you're going to see this again. Who is and who was and who is to be the Almighty. Remember in the Torah, in the Old Testament scriptures, how has he revealed himself? He has revealed himself to as Elohim. Secondly, he has revealed himself to
Abraham as El Shaddai, the Almighty, and to Moses, he has revealed himself as the Yud He Vav He. First as the Yud He, and then he gave him the complete understanding that he is to, at that point, keep to himself, really, the Yud He Vav He, who is the Am and the Will Be. And the Alpha and the Omega conveys a similar idea in the Greek. The Alpha is the first, the principle. It's the first in time, and it's also the first in power, the first in value also. And the Omega, it is the ultimate, the Omega, the end, right? And then he says it in the Hebraic, in the way he conveyed it to the Hebrews, who is, who was, and who is to come, and the El Shaddai. So there's no misunderstanding. The El Shaddai, that's who this is. So he's communicating very clearly in their time of trouble they're being sent grace and peace from this source, from this great infinite power. And we know in the Hebrew, as we covered a couple of weeks ago, it is the Rishon, the first, and the Aaron, which is communicated as the end or the last, but it's not really the last. It's the evermore. That's really what the Aaron means. It's the evermore. It's the everlasting. So, dear brethren, I stop here. So we will continue next Sabbath on this. I know this is taking a little time, but we need to make sure we cover this properly with understanding. Amen. Thank you.